God is love, and God loves each one of us. He loves you. He loves me. He has given us life. He has made us in His image. He has given us an immortal, rational soul with intellect and free will, so that not only can we know Him and love Him, but we can also rule, really, over the rest of creation. We're above everything else. And so, my brothers and sisters, you and I need to rejoice how much God loves us. Our dear Lord emphasizes this. He says, think of sparrows. We're worth more. He says, every hair of our head is counted, which for some of us is getting easier all the time. So, the Lord gives and the Lord takes away. But the key here is that we are precious in the eyes of God. We aren't simply some mindless byproduct of some random chance thing we call evolution. No, God has willed us to be here. God has given us life. He has a purpose for each one of us. We have to keep in mind, though, we aren't perfect. St. Paul in our second passage reminds us sin entered this world. You and I have been wounded by original sin. Even though we have the grace of baptism, nevertheless, we have that woundedness due to original sin. Nevertheless, as St. Paul tells us, God still loved. He made the covenant with Abraham. He gave Moses the Ten Commandments so that we would have the right set of directions to live in this life. In the fullness of time, though, He gave us our Savior. Through the saving action of our Lord Jesus, an abundance of grace has poured forth to fill our souls, beginning in baptism. This grace, which is that gift of life and love from God Himself, this like breath of God that comes into our soul. This grace is nourished, especially through the Holy Eucharist. It is renewed when we go to confession, for after all, at times we do sin. It is strengthened through the gifts of the Spirit at confirmation. When we're called to a special vocation like marriage or priesthood, we have the strength that comes through matrimony and holy orders. When we face sickness or some kind of infirmity, or even prepare to leave this world, we have the gift of grace through the anointing of the sick. From beginning to end of our life's journey here in this world, the grace of God is abundantly available to us. So we ought to have great joy then. Knowing how much God loves us, we ought to have great joy. So with that, Jesus says in the gospel, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid even of those who can take your physical life. You have that life of grace within your soul, your very self. We think how our Lord, in a way, is preparing His apostles for their mission. Just as Jeremiah, the great prophet from our first passage, 600 years before our Lord, faced persecution, rejection because of preaching the Word of God, the apostles would face rejection by those for preaching the Word of God. Yes, they would even die as martyrs. And yet, because of their generous love for God, we're here. The church continues on. St. Paul said in his letter to the Romans when he was awaiting his own trial and death, St. Paul said, if I die, so much the gain. I'll be with Jesus. In every age, then, even though we may face persecution, we should not fear. I think of the Christians today throughout the world who do face real persecution. We well know the reports of how in Egypt, for instance, past Palm Sunday, two churches were bombed, many were killed. A month ago, a group of Christian pilgrims were going to some holy shrine. Their bus was attacked by Islamic terrorists. 29 were killed, many others wounded. In a story I read about the aftermath of the incident, there was an interview with a family, and this mother recounted how her little girl came to her and said, Mommy, what if they come after us? And the mother said, we won't be afraid. Jesus will be with us. But Mommy, what if they kill us? And the mother said, "We won't be afraid. We'll be with Jesus in heaven." How beautiful that is. That here is a joy from the abundance of grace that God has shared that causes them to live their life and persevere. And so it must be with us too. Hopefully we'll never face such persecution, but ours might come in a different way. There are those forces of evil in our world that would like to secularize our society, make faith something of just confined to this little building here, or there will be those forces of evil that attack us if we're pro-life or pro the sanctity of marriage and label us as some kind of a phobe of some sort. So be it. Live your faith with joy. There's the key. With how much God loves you, show your love. Just as Jesus said, be the light of the world. Shout it from the housetops. Show your faith and live it with joy. So don't be afraid to pray, even in public, like saying grace in a restaurant. Don't be afraid to talk about your faith to others and how important it is. Tell people you're praying for them or giving them counsel by the truths of our faith. Don't be afraid to identify yourself as a Catholic Christian. No, we should be joyful and show that joy. How else do we make converts? How else did the church grow, even in the times of the apostles who faced that Roman persecution? So we do not fear. We know that Christ is with us, He loves us, and He'll always be with us. However, our Lord did say, the one to fear is the one who could take your soul to hell, to Gehenna. Those are the ones we should really fear. So it might be truly an evil person, a person like an employer who promises us success and wealth if we break the law, or the politician who promises us some kind of power and position if we abandon our faith to follow the political ideology. Or maybe it's the professor at colleges who promises us some kind of good grade if we believe the half-truths, the lies, and the bashings of the church that are so often given in colleges these days. Or it may be the preacher who promises the prosperity theology and never talks about the commandments, the moral issues, right or wrong. For you young people especially, be on guard against those who will call themselves friends. The friend who will tempt you to lie, cheat, or steal, or to disobey your parents' desires and the guidance they've given you, or offer you the sex, the drugs, and the alcohol, be careful. In our community, every year, how often do we hear of young people who have ruined their lives, destroyed their lives, and jeopardized their souls because of such friends? Fear the one who can take your soul to hell. It may not even be necessarily a person. It could be sort of a structure of evil. For instance, I fear in our community we can become very much over-programmed, too busy. Too busy doing so many things, there's no longer time to pray. No longer time for Sunday Mass. No longer time for a family life. Busy. And I hear this in confession with young people. Did not go to Mass. Why? We're busy. Well, busy, B-U-S-Y, being under Satan's yoke. And we have to ask ourselves, if we're so busy for God that we can't spend time with God in this life, how can we expect heaven? We're living hell right now. We have to be on guard. It may not even be that. There, evil can come through even what should be good things. For instance, if Facebook causes you thoughts of greed, envy, jealousy, and anger, give it up. If watching Facebook causes strife within your marriage or your home, give it up. It's not worth it. Or if the cell phone is the source of temptation and evil, give it up. Put it away. Fear the one or the thing that can cost your soul and lead your soul to hell. That's what we need to fear. So, my brothers and sisters, we rejoice because God has loved us so much. We have Jesus who is with us always. We have the abundance of grace that our Lord offers us, especially through the sacraments. We have the community of the church. Let us live that with joy and shout it from the rooftops. Be the light of the world. And with that, then, keep our eyes fixed on Christ, who's not only with us in this life, but will lead us to everlasting life in heaven. May God bless you.